Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Now, you can never get to a place, and I say these type of things all the time, you can never get to a place where you outgrow the teacher as far as God, amen? So we must learn how to learn from God. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you to God for this time. We pray to God, number one, that you be glorified, oh God, that you be lifted up. And dear God, that today we learn to see you in a new light, in a better light. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Somebody say, teach us, Lord. My first scripture, one of my theme scriptures that we have for this series is going to be Psalms 119, verse 12. And it says, praise be to the Lord, teach me your decrees. Praise be to the Lord, teach me your decrees. Now, your decrees is another word for laws, but it's also another word for ways. Show me your ways, God. Amen. And this has to be a cry of your heart. I constantly want, like I've been praying this week, and I actually was on the phone with a friend yesterday, and I told him he'll be in my sermon, and I said, I won't tell you, you're not, I won't put your name out there or nothing like that. But I was like, there's things that we want to learn how to do effectively. Maybe you want to learn how to minister to somebody that doesn't know the Lord. Amen. Maybe you want to be able to learn how to walk in Christ stronger. That's a desire of mine as well. It's not something that you get to a place where you're like, I'm cool right here. No, God, I want more and more of a hunger for your word. Amen. More and more of a hunger for prayer. Maybe you're just starting out and you're saying, I don't know what it looks like to pray. I don't know how to pray. Well, the thing that we have to do is say, God, show me how to do that. Amen. Show me how to effectively learn from you so that I can become better. What I know. I always get their names mixed up. But you over there, you play instruments, right? Now, when you play the instruments, you didn't just automatically know how to play the instrument, right? Somebody had to teach you, or you had to learn by studying. Amen. Everything that we have been given, we had to learn. Now, I'm going to say this. Sometimes God gives you a innate ability, which means that's in you. My mom has that. She could just play instruments. But she also learns the instrument. Amen. Whatever you're good at, Chris Bartos, he practices law. That means he had to learn the law. You can't practice something that you don't know. But you also have to subject yourself to say, I don't know enough about this right here. How do I learn this thing? Amen. And you have to get to a place where you say, God, I need you to teach me. My other theme scripture for this is Psalms chapter 25, verse 4. It says, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. I'm going to keep reading the next scripture. It says, guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. All right? It says, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. When we get to this place where we say, God, show me your direction, once again, one thing that we have to realize is, just like the song says, we're lost without God. Now, a lot of people don't want to admit that, right? A lot of people want to figure it out on their own. They're that husband that's on a road trip that won't admit he's lost, right? And it's funny because all the ladies be like, amen, right? But when you're going on a road and you're lost, until you start to realize in God that I'm lost, you're going to continue to be going to a place where you get more and more lost, if that's the case. You're going to get further and further from where you're supposed to go. So the number one thing in asking God's direction, we must realize that we are lost. I was talking to my daughter. She had been doing some things and she knocked something over. And then she said, "I didn't do that." And I'm saying, OK, I wasn't born yesterday. I know something like that doesn't just jump off the table and fall onto the floor. Right. And she's like, "I didn't do it. I didn't do it." I said, "OK, you're lying. Right. I know that you did it." And I said, I just kept telling her, she would not admit it. So finally, I said, what you have to learn to do is admit when you are wrong. There's nothing wrong with admitting that you are wrong. What is wrong is when you try to hide what you're doing. And, you know, my daughter, Markayla, she has a really good heart. So after that, I tell her, God doesn't like that. And then she just starts bawling, right? And I'm like, thank God, because that's all I got to say, right? And now she's starting to admit when she's wrong, which is a good thing, because you cannot get forgiveness from God if you don't admit you're wrong. So that's part of us being taught. First, we must realize that we're lost. We must realize that we are the students and not the teacher. Amen. Even us as pastors, we see a lot of church people that have been in church for their whole lives begin to start new doctrines because now they think that they have arrived to some form of biblical truth that they can begin to make their own truth. But really, that's a faulty position to be in, because now you're saying you know more than the word of God. And we can never get to that place. Amen. The Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It says even in the New Testament, it says he confounds the wise with even the foolish things that he does. The little things that God does is bigger than the biggest things we can create. Amen. And we have to learn that God is bigger. Amen. So we ask him to guide us and teach us. For you are my God and my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. I'm going to go to one of Jesus's biggest, I guess we can call this sermon. It's called the Beatitudes. Amen. And in the Beatitudes, and actually the whole chapter of Matthew chapter 5, this is when Jesus is preaching on a mountaintop, and he gives a lot of information that these people are beginning to learn. And what are they learning? They're learning the ways of God. Amen. So we're going to start with it. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," now, first of all, Jesus sees that they need to be taught. Amen. So why does he see this? There's people all around, and Jesus is like, okay, now's the time. And this is important. Even with us sharing the word of God, so everybody's not going to get, right? How many have been in a class, math class, probably, because a lot of us don't like math sometimes, and they're teaching something, but you don't get it, right? Nia, what's the class that you're in that you don't get? What's a tough class for you? Math. What about you, Bella? Science. Okay, now I can agree with science. Biology, right? Geometry, physics, all of that. Sometimes they taught something and they didn't get it. So sometimes when we share the word, we have to understand that the word of God is a teacher. Amen? Because this is the same words that God shared. It said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Amen. Now, when we read this, first of all, most of us, we don't really think the poor are blessed in any ways. Right? But in God's eyes, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Let's see if I can pull up the Amplified version. Because I like the way that this is, because Jesus is creating a new kingdom. And in order to understand his kingdom, we had to understand what he's talking about. It's like, what the poor in spirit. I'm going to read it in Amplified. It said, blessed or happy to be envied and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the poor in spirit, or it says the humble who rate themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, what is Jesus saying? Those that consider themselves insignificant, if they grab a hold of the kingdom of God, they will be blessed. Amen. So what does that say? What does that mean? There's many people that, oh, I'm not good enough. Right. We as the body of Christ do not allow people around us to have that attitude. We have to say, well, you're good enough because the kingdom of God has allowed you to be good enough. Now walk in your blessings. Amen. So it's our job to encourage. The kingdom of God is never to tear people down. It's to tear the roots of sin and the roots of evil down, but it's never to tear people down. Amen. We always have to remember that. Jesus never came to make people feel bad. Right? But the word of God would cause you to be excited or feel unexcited. What's the other word for unexcited? Feel down, because either you are going to obey God's word or not obey God's word. Now, the devil comes to condemn. Amen. What does that mean? The devil comes to tell you that you're no good. The devil comes to tell you that, oh, God said this. You'll never be able to do what God's word says he could do. But that's not God's word. As we continue to trust in what God's word is, even when we fall, we know that Jesus is praying for us. Did you guys know that? The Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of God making intercessions, which is not interceptions, right? But intercessions, praying on our behalf. And he's praying that God would give us the strength to continue. Amen? So that's what we have to do. Let's read verse 4. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. All right, that's pretty straightforward. But once again, the kingdom of God, it will transform the way that you are. Somebody that's poor, they're going to be blessed because they've trusted in the kingdom of God. And this is not financial always. You know, sometimes the church, they're either heavy on the side of finances or they're on a total different end where you have to be in poverty. No, I think God is the God of balance. And Paul even said you have to learn, whether you're up or down, to praise God, to be content with what you have. Amen. And sometimes that's the hardest thing, when you see somebody else have that new house that you really wanted to get. Right. Has that ever happened to somebody? You was looking at a house on TV or something. It kind of makes it, man, my house is not. I'm not really feeling my house. Or you got a car and you just got your car a couple years ago. But, man, you just seen Billy's car and it's like Billy got it going on. Right. So what begins to happen is we feel like we're not as good as them because we don't have what they have. But we should be content and begin to say, man, I thank God that I have a car. Right? I think I told the story last week where somebody was saw somebody's car and it was nicer than his. He was like, I really want that car. And then somebody else did the same thing. Oh, I wish I had his car. And this person said, I wish I had his car. A guy on a bike was like, I wish I had a car. A guy walking said, I wish I had a bike. A guy that was walking was saw by a guy that couldn't walk, and he was like, I wish I can walk. Amen. And it just kept on going to show that people get into a cycle where they're never satisfied with what they had or what they have. But we as the children of God must learn to be excited about what God has blessed us with. Amen. Verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, in a day of war, let me read it in the Amplified. Blessed are the meek, the mild, patient, long-suffering, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, most people don't think patient people are going to get anything, right? I mean, we live in a world where war is the way to get it. Let me take what you have because I have to have it right now. But it says the mild, patient, long-suffering, those that wait, they will have, what did it say? They will have they will inherit the earth. And this is the kingdom of God. So it's when you look at the kingdom of God, it is totally different than the world that we live in. Because when you go to a new job, let's say you work on loans and different things like that, they're not going to tell you to be patient. They're going to close the deal, right? Get the deal knocked out. Why? Because all they care about is the money, right? And we want it fast, fast, fast. Can we do it faster than we did it last month? How can we make it faster? What can we do to become bigger and better and bigger and better, right? But it says the mild, the patient, the long-suffering, they shall inherit the earth. Let's see what it says in verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. All right? It says, let's see. Are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God, for they shall be completely satisfied. And we have to look at this and say, okay, how many of us are unsatisfied in life? Right? A lot of times we're unsatisfied, and if we really start to look at what is causing us to be unsatisfied, number one is because we're not looking to God, who is our satisfaction. Amen? Many times when we get frustrated, it's not because we're in a place where we need to be in God. It's because we're trying to get things done on our own. We try to handle it on our own, but it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So as you read this, one thing I do is say, okay, how can I, since we're learning, the question that we all should ask is say, how can I have a stronger hunger and thirst for God? Right? My wife just preached about being hungry for God. So when you're being taught something, you have, there's a question that has to be asked, and you have to begin to answer that. Right? So what does it look like when I am hungrier for God? Somebody give me an answer. Chris, in your life, what is it going to look like if you're hungrier for God?
Always searching for something better.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. Jane, what does it look like when you're hungrier for God?
I don't know. It just looks like I want to do more.
Okay. So we're in a lot of times this feels like what we're trying to do is make God's kingdom move forward. But what if it's about me just wanting to spend more time with God? Right. What if it's about me saying, okay, God, I preached a sermon a while ago. This is even before we were here at this church. And I preached on many people begin to think that doing things for God is doing what God wants, but a lot of times it's not. Right? I could do a whole bunch of things for God. God, look, I'm doing this. But God is saying, can you just come sit here with me for a while? I want you to do this. But God, hold up, man. I think I'm doing great things. Many times it's a lot of running around, and it looks good. But until we learn to really spend time with God, that's really what it's about, hungering and thirsting. Because when you're hungry for food, you don't go running around the corner and say, let me go do something. I'm hungry for food, but let me do. You say, OK, let me sit down and eat. Right. So when you are hungry for God, it's like, God, let me sit down in your presence. And what does that look like? It looks like me, maybe there's a time in my schedule where I just say, let me just mark this time out to spend time with God. I know I'm busy. I know I got practices to run to. I know I got this and that. I got the job. I got to get things taken care of. But if I'm hungry, if I'm really hungry for God, I'm going to mark out this time just to spend with him or spend in his word. Amen. One thing I do is I always say this again. I let the Bible read itself to me. Now, we got these smartphones, and the dope thing about smartphones is they can talk. Right. But I have a Bible plan on my phone, and one of them has like 8 chapters, right? And what I do is, at least 2 times a week, I let that thing play while I'm cleaning up, while I'm just doing different things. Instead of listening to music, right? Instead of turning on the TV, instead of doing a whole bunch of different things, I let that play. Why? Because it allows me to say, it allows the word of God to get in me. So now I'm consuming the word. Amen. So we must hunger for God and thirst for him. And then the Bible says not only when we do that, we will be filled. Amen. All right. Verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. All right. Now, what does that look like? If I show mercy in the kingdom of God, I will receive mercy. Now, in this world, when somebody does something wrong to you, they're like, get him back. Right? But in the kingdom of God, if you don't forgive, which really is part of mercy, mercy is saying, I'm going to forgive you, even though you deserve this, I'm going to hold it back. Right? Even though you did this to me, and this is the kingdom of God. This is not the ways of the world. The ways of the world will tell you get even with that person. And what begins to happen is everybody's trying to get even with that person because they did something wrong, and it just keeps on going. But in the kingdom of God, God wants us to get rid of the get even button in our lives. Amen. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And in the Amplified, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It says the same thing. It's funny. It actually says blessed, happy, enviable, fortunate. It gives a whole definition for blessed, but I've already read that. But they shall see God. So what does it mean to see God? How many of us want to see God? We want to see God at work in our lives. Now, not only do we want to see God at work, I mean, I love when I pray for somebody, right? And God moves in their situation. I was telling my friend that I was on the phone with yesterday. We were on the phone for like 3 hours just talking, right? And that's sometimes you don't even realize you're on the phone that long, but you're like, man, we're on the phone, bro. It's 3 hours, dang. But I was talking about, I remember times when I've prayed for people. And in particular, there was a lady at the Puyallup Fair. We used to run a booth at the Puyallup Fair, play our music, you know, and use this to evangelize or just pray and minister to people. So the lady was at the booth, and this was when swine flu was big, right? So I asked her randomly, and the Spirit of God led me to do this, hey, is there anything I can pray for you about? And she began to cry. Yeah, my baby's in the hospital. He has swine flu, and they say he's going to die, right? And I'm like, well, let's pray, right? And I'm not after anything. I'm not telling you, look, you got to pay me so we can pray. I'm not on that. But I said, let's pray, and let's expect God to move. And I prayed for her, and I said, here's a card. This is a card. I want you to call me when the baby is healed. Amen? And then I said, okay, that's it. She left. The very next day, she called and was crying, leaving a message like, my baby is healed. Thank you for praying, right? And when that happens, I'm like, ooh, God is showing up. Amen? And it's not because I'm trying to make. See, this is the thing about, it says the pure in heart. When you're pure in heart, you're not somebody that's looking out for yourself. My friend, he was asking, how come many times, you know, we don't see that. And I said, it's a lot of times because people are trying to glorify themselves. I'm not trying to glorify myself. Matter of fact, when I go to different churches and they're like, every pastor stand up. I hate standing up, right? I don't want to be, come up to the front, pastor, sit on the pulpit. I'm not doing that. Why? Because I don't want to glorify myself. I am just like, I'm a man just like anybody else. Amen. We're all men. And we always have to remember that. Sometimes we try to glorify people that are doing the works of God, and we do that more than we glorify God. And it shouldn't be like that. Amen? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Now, one of my good friends, Marcel, he's always a peacemaker. Like, if something's about to happen, he's running to stop it. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I'm still working on that part, right? And there's some times where I try to stop different things, or I try to tell people, hey, check this out. Calm down. Let's figure out a different way to do this. But Marcel, his heart has always, he always have had a good heart. I mean, I remember we was at the Puyallup Fair. It might have been the same week or something. And on a corner, somebody's fighting. And he runs immediately to go stop it, right? And I'm kind of like, hey, what's going on? What are you guys doing? And then when I get over there, and Chamion, my friend Chamion, he was trying to stop it, and the guy was swinging at him. And Chamion did like a two-step that he was about to punch, and I was like, no, don't do that, right? So we get over there. We were able to get him all calmed down. But one thing I know is that the people that want to make peace, really make peace, it only comes from having the heart of God. Because God doesn't want anybody to be hurt. Amen? And as I'm learning this, because we're all learning this, how can we become peacemakers? Even in our own lives. Now, for example, one of the quickest ways to get some of us in the flesh is if we're on the street driving and somebody cuts us off. Right? Now, we have two choices. Somebody say two choices. Get in the flesh, right? Roll that window down and give them a piece of our mind, because we all got to let it out somehow, right? Or we can be like, thank God that we didn't get hit, right? Let me calm this down. Now, I can escalate it, and I've been in situations. Man, well, I was on a freeway one time turning on 405, and when you get from I-5 to 405, you're supposed to slow down. They have a sign that says 35 miles per hour. So I slow down, right, because I'm trying to not go off the freeway. But the person behind me, he hated that I did that. So he's riding me, and I'm like, what's the deal, man? I'm just following the speed limit thing. So I get over, and then he tries to swerve in my lane, and he gets this close to hit me just because he was upset. And I was upset after that, and I was like, oh. And I was like, let me just let him go by. Right? Why? Because I know that if I continue to stay next to this person, it could be a problem. And I'm not even a real, like, I don't really fight people. Right? But there's sometimes when people do certain things, especially that jeopardizes you and your family, it's kind of like, man, he better keep on moving or it's really going to be a problem. And sometimes what happens is you get stopped at the next stop sign with these people or the next stoplight. And what I do is I don't even look at them, right? I just act like they're not there. Or what I say is, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And if they're yelling, oh, I'm sorry, sir, you know, if it was my fault. But what we have to learn to do is become peacemakers. Don't escalate the situation, deflate like the Patriots. Amen. I'm just playing, just in case any Patriots players are listening. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, all right? For theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people will say, man, I'm being persecuted. But sometimes it's because they're in the wrong place, the wrong time, with the wrong people, right? And now we just say, oh, I'm persecuted. The world is out to get me. Those kind of people are not going to be blessed. But when you're persecuted for following God's word, right? If God's word says to do something and you're walking in that and you're following what God's word is saying, you will be blessed. And sometimes it might not be in this life. There's a story about Stephen, one of the disciples who was zealous for God, was walking in the will of God. And the Pharisees couldn't stand him. And they brought him to trial, and he begins to share the word of God. And then they get upset because they didn't agree with God's word. And they begin to stone him. Right? And while he was stoned, the Bible says that he was looking up to heaven, and he saw the heavens open up. And he saw God bring him out, and he died. Right? Now, he wasn't blessed in that he got hit with a whole bunch of rocks. That's not a blessing. But in the kingdom of God, he's going to be blessed. He's going to receive his crown for walking out what God has called him to walk out, even in the midst of persecution. Amen. It says in the Amplified, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness sake, for being and doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's see. Verse 11. Blessed are you when you revile. I'm sorry. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely, and not just because of your sake, but it's for God's sake. Amen. We are living in the day and age. I was talking to a couple people today and yesterday where we are getting in a day where the enemy and even the world that we live in, they're going to legalize and give people whatever makes them happy. We're going to start to see more and more of this, right? Why? Because that's what the enemy wants to do. Whatever I can do to make you happy, to keep you from following God, to do, you know, just whatever you do, that's what they want to do, right? And if you're living a life like that and not a life that's based on the word of God, what's going to begin to happen is that they're going to persecute us because we're living for God's word. We're living a life that's totally different, right? Money should not drive a believer, right? Now, God knows that we need money. Lord knows we need it, right? But we don't let money lead us. And what does that look like? It looks like, okay, God, there may be some things that I could do to get money, but it might not be pleasing to you. So that kind of money, I don't want it. But God, show me the way that I can get this money to take care of my family. Money is a tool, but a lot of times people allow money to be a god, right? They allow it to drive their life. Hey, how much do I get paid? Okay, I'll be there, right? And I'm one of the people, man, sometimes you got to learn to just relax. God's going to take care of me. And there's been times where I thought, oh, man, I need to get this. I need to go do it. But then I just say, okay, God, show me the way. Teach me in this moment so I can follow you and not follow myself. Amen? But it says, blessed are those are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. All right? It's very important that we learn these things. And there's, I want you guys to take time to just listen to chapter 5, read chapter 5 of Matthew, because there's many things that Jesus begins to teach people so that they understand the kingdom of God. Amen? When we want to learn the ways of God, and I could actually preach on all of it, but just due to time, I don't want us to be here all night. Praise God. Sometimes you have to learn to stop church, right? Because realistically, a lot of times we come to church and we learn something, but unless we're actually continuing to learn outside of church, it does us no good. Because how many of you know you can't live in church 24/7? Yeah, matter of fact, if you think about how much time you're in church compared to how much time you're outside of church, your outside of church is way, way more than when you're in church. So you have to learn, guess what? Not just to come to church, but to become the church. Amen. So that means we're learning constantly. So your homework assignment, somebody say homework assignment, is to study Matthew chapter 5. Everyone, let's read Matthew chapter 5, listen to Matthew chapter 5. And sometimes it might take a couple of times to hear it before you get it. Just like when you're in class, they might have said 2 + 4 = 6. But, you know, my kids, they're in kindergarten, so when they first started doing 2 + 4, they're like, they didn't know the answer. But as they continued to practice and to learn, they were able to learn it. Amen. Lord, teach us, Lord. That's our prayer today. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that number one, that we commit our ways to you. Dear God, that your word be exactly what we learn from. And dear God, and I pray to God that you would allow us not to think that we have arrived, not to think that we know it all, oh God. Help us to have a humble spirit in learning exactly what you want us to learn. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the church say, amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.